Our scripture reading is in Romans 5, verses 1 to 6. And that's on page 1209 of the Pew Bible. Okay, so, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Okay, so now I'm going to lead us in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day and for this opportunity to meet with you in your house. And we just pray that you would be with the pastor as he opens your word to us, and help us to go home blessed. Amen.
Amen. Ellie is saying, "It is well with my soul." I was born in a very evangelical family, brought up in a Christian environment, and I've heard this message maybe thousands of times, that a believer has peace, and we have peace with God. And I've heard this hymn or song many, many times, and every time I heard it, I decided that everything is going to be well with my soul. Only to realize that after a few minutes I was wrestling with some things. And if I were to say I have complete and total peace all the time, you would have thought I'm a liar, and you would have been right. Because we do go through turmoil and difficulties and problems, and this hymn encourages us to think about God, and as Jonathan said, just remember that God loves us. Even though we know that, we doubt sometimes whether God really cares about us. In this restless and insecure age, there is a tremendous desire and need, longing for peace all around the world. All you do is just watch the news, and you realize that what everyone talks about is peace and prosperity. In Europe, Asia, Africa, and here in the Americas, the cry is, we want peace, security, lasting peace. Peace is a very precious possession. This morning I was reading in the Gazette about the story of a family that came from Sierra Leone, I believe, in British Columbia, and they were supported by the village or the city, the small village, and they were sponsored, and the comment of the lady who had lost her husband, he was killed, said, "Finally, we are at peace. We have peace." And this family with her children, this lady with her children, was looking for a place where she will find some peace. Mind you, after I read the story, I thought for a moment and I said, but here she will find other things that will occupy her mind, and that peace will be challenged many times. The book Peace with God by Billy Graham has sold millions of copies in many languages. I read it for the first time actually in Greek long time ago. This longing is universal. In some languages, the standard greeting is peace. For example, in Arabic and Hebrew. In Arabic, Salam, and in Hebrew, of course, Shalom. But sadly, people are looking for peace in the wrong places. Psychiatrists, educators, theologians, and all those who have tried to come up with a formula that would bring peace in our lives and the world in general have failed and will fail unless they recognize that the only way to have peace is by making peace with God first, our Creator. And I believe you will find people everywhere trying to prove that there is God, and there are those who would like to prove that there is no God. There are those who would like to prove to you that this tradition will give you peace, and the other group that will say, no, my tradition will give you peace. And then you have those who will say, my denomination has the key to peace and not the other denomination. And others will say, my doctrine has actually the truth to peace. Jesus said, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Where do we find that truth? Only as Jesus Christ possesses our hearts can we know real peace. Real peace is only possible by making peace with God, our Creator, our manufacturer, if you wish, our designer. Now, peace with God is not just a subjective feeling like peace of mind, but rather an objective status, condition, a new relationship with God. Once we were His enemies, but now we are His friends. In Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22, we read, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you only in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. While people are searching to find personal peace in man-made things and philosophies, in vain, God is still offering real peace to all those who come to Him through faith. The following three questions may be asked by those who are still searching for peace. How do we get peace, real peace? What will it do for us in the future? But most importantly, what will it do for us now? And again, religion is either some kind of a promise, some kind of a commitment to a doctrine, to a philosophy, to a religion that promises good things after death, or nothing after death, meaning that you'll stop suffering. But I believe real peace comes when you know your future and you accept that future. Last night I was watching something, and it was a documentary of a man whose son killed his wife, his mom, and his brother. So there was a man who lost his wife and son, and finally his other son was arrested for committing that crime. And he was a believer, and he was actually a born-again believer, and he said, I know where my wife is, and I know where my daughter is. They are in God's presence, and I'm hoping and wishing soon to be there with them. And I looked at his face, and he had that peace. He had that assurance. And he had that belief that unbelievers do not have, cannot have, and cannot understand. How can this man say that for sure I'll go and meet my wife and my son? How can he know that? But the peace and the joy and the assurance he has in his heart, the Holy Spirit tells him that that's what it is. And finally, when his son, the other son, was in front of the judge, the father was asked to comment, and he said, I know my son killed my wife and my son, but I forgive him because I know that God will forgive him. Some people will not accept that. Some people will resent that. How can he forgive his son who killed his wife and son? But how many times have you killed in your heart? And how many times have you sinned in your heart? How many times have we committed adultery and fornication and theft in our heart just because we didn't have the opportunity, or the circumstances were not there to put into practice what we thought? It doesn't mean we are holy and innocent. We all need God's forgiveness. So the first is how to get peace. The three questions were how to get peace, what will it do for us in the future, and third was what will it do for us now. And the first one is how to get peace. Peace with God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And you say, oh, but I know a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus. They have a different doctrine, and or they are atheists, and they have such a peace, and they are such nice people. Well, don't forget, God has designed every one of us, and God has manufactured every one of us, and God has put that spark of goodness in every one of us, and often we respond to that. But actually, that's not permanent forever unless we make peace with God and invite God to take control of our lives. Yes. But how, you may ask, can I have that peace? Well, first, let me tell you some things that do not bring peace with God, or do not bring peace in your heart. Sorrow for sins. To be sorry for your sins, just feeling awful and bad for our sin, will not do. A lot of times people are very sorry that they have done something wrong, that they have sinned, that they have cheated on their wife or husband, that they have stolen something, that they have hurt someone's feelings. But just feeling sorry does not fix the problem, does not mend the broken heart and the relationship. Walking down the church, the aisle here, doesn't do it either. A lot of people have come forward at a Billy Graham crusade or any crusade or here at temple, and then after a while they realize that it was an emotional reaction or response to the message, and it doesn't do it. Keeping the Ten Commandments won't bring anyone closer to salvation and peace, because no one can keep all Ten Commandments. No one was in the past, and no one will ever be able to. Prayer and religion cannot save either unless it is a prayer of repentance prayed to God through Jesus. To the question, how do we get peace? The answer is only through faith in Christ. And to the question, who can have it? The answer is very simple, very simple. Even though there are those who love to complicate things with man-made doctrines and philosophies like predestination, and some people have disagreed with me, and there have been some discussions, but it is a philosophy or a doctrine. They say that only those who God has elected to be saved will be saved. All others, regardless how much they ask, or even beg God for salvation, they are destined for hell. Wrong. That is very wrong. The Bible makes it very clear that anyone who comes to Him in repentance and asks for forgiveness will be saved and receive God's peace. In John 3:16 we read, "So for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, for whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The word here that I have to underline is whosoever believes in Him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." Matthew 11:28. In other words, to make peace with God, you must by faith come to God and confess your sins to Him and invite Jesus Christ to come and take over your life. In our family, as there are many, many families I believe here, we practice something that has worked in the past and I believe will work for the rest of our journey on this earth. That is, when I have something with my wife and I hurt her feelings and she hurts my feelings and that relationship it's not as we would want it to, I believe the only way that can be solved or resolved is if I go to her and say, "I was wrong, I'm sorry, forgive me." And she will say the same if she wants to. But as far as I'm concerned, I have to accept my responsibility that I have seen, that I've heard someone, and I have, just knowing that I heard, I can go into my room, sit down and say, "Man, what a stupid thing I was this. Why did I hurt my wife? I'm so sorry, I'm so stupid." I can say anything I want. The relationship will not improve until I go to her and ask her to forgive me. And that works between parents and children and siblings. And just with anyone, I believe that we have to understand that the only way we can fix a broken relationship is when we admit guilt and ask for forgiveness. Let me just repeat what I said before. In other words, to make peace with God, you must, by faith, come to God and confess your sins to Him and invite Jesus Christ to come and take over your life. Second, what will peace with God do about my future? Verse 2 says, "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But all those who have not made peace with God cannot look forward to an eternity with God." How can they look forward to something they do not believe in? For those who ignore or reject God and His salvation through Christ, there is judgment, and unfortunately, because of the initial sin and our broken relationship with God, hell. Every step brings the unbeliever closer to them. Every heartbeat moves us nearer to our eternal future. The believers to an eternal heaven and unbelievers to eternal pain, suffering, and hell. Because the word hell has been removed from the vocabulary in most churches, people don't even realize that there is such a place called hell. But the Bible talks more about hell than talks about heaven. And God warns people more about hell than anything else. Hell is the final destination of those who have rejected God or refused to believe in Him, our Creator, Sustainer, and Designer. Without peace with God, we are not ready to die. And we are not ready to live until we are ready to die. We are not ready to live until we are ready to die. We cannot be at peace until we are sure of a future in heaven. I believe the only reason why doctors and scientists have tried to prolong life, the only reason why people would ask to be frozen until such a time as they will be able to be defrosted, if you wish, and new life or eternal life given to them. Can you imagine? People are searching to find some meaning to this life. People are doing almost anything. They will give anything to find some answers to their questions and to eternal life. We cannot be sure of heaven until we make peace with God. And when you make peace with God, you don't even have to ask the question because you already feel it in your heart and in your life. Peace with God enables us to look forward to the future. Jesus said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The believer who has made peace with God can look forward to meeting loved ones in heaven and being with our Lord Jesus. I know for those who don't believe in God and those who don't believe in eternal life and those who don't believe in life after death, this sounds very empty, very religious. But to us who believe in God and we have made God our Lord and Savior, the blessed assurance of meeting our loved ones is such a peace-giving thing. And someone may say, well, that's why you are a Christian, that's why you believe, because you want to convince yourself that someday you will meet your mom and dad and grandparents and everyone that you love. I tell you what, even if I didn't have that assurance, I would still be a follower of Christ because I know what He has done in my life. I know what He has changed in my life. I know how He has given me that light and the hope and the assurance of going through this life, finishing this journey of life, and enjoying every moment of it, even when I go through a difficult period of time. Number three, peace with God gives us understanding of life now. Becoming a Christian is not only for the future. Believing in God is not only to get an insurance policy for the future when I die. If there is God and if there is eternity and if there is such a thing as heaven, then I would like to make sure by buying this insurance policy. That's not what it is. Being a follower of Christ or becoming a believer changes your life from right now and gives you a different outlook, different life. The person who makes peace with God finally begins to see a purpose, a design in his or her life. Life becomes meaningful. Even when life brings tribulations, difficulties, and suffering, let's look at verses 3 to 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. What else do we need to have happy lives? Perseverance, character, hope, assurance. Trouble, believe it or not, makes us patient. Patience gives us experience. Experience brings us hope. Hope does not disappoint us. We learn how to live and enjoy a spirit-filled life. So, you say, well, what kind of a life do you enjoy after you became a believer? Well, you know what? Every one of us has experienced life outside Christ, I believe. Even if you were a little child when you became a born-again believer, you have tried and experienced some things that were outside that realm of being holy, if you wish, or or faithful to God, and you've realized that those things you've tried in the past have not brought that joy and that peace that you've been searching for. And I believe that, I know this from my own experience. When I accepted the Lord, I was only 12, but then I enlisted in the Air Force, Royal Greek Air Force. I was 17, and until 2021 I served. And there I saw stuff that I wanted to have and I wanted to do. And when I came to Canada, I had all this freedom away from my parents, away from my church. And the things that I thought would give me pleasure gave me more pain and bitterness. Until I made peace with God once again, and I said, God, please remove all these things from me and give me your peace, your joy. And ever since then, I believe I have experienced moments of disappointment and pain and suffering, but my journey has been one full of hope and joy and meaning. The Holy Spirit fills our hearts with God's love, and we are then able to love. This love helps us to be confident even in difficulties. God invites everyone to be at peace with Him. He is inviting you to this morning to make peace with Him. Jesus died to bring peace in our hearts and lives. Will you receive Christ by faith and be at peace with God? I hope that you will. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, the giver of peace and joy and life, Lord, we read in the Bible, in your word, that you loved us so much, the world, the sinful world with all its sinfulness and corruption. You loved each one of us. And you sent your Son. You came, God came to this earth to bring us peace and liberty from sin. We thank you. Lord, this morning I pray that each one of us may be touched by your presence and your Holy Spirit. May we look back and see our failures and failings, and then look forward and ask you please to help us to walk uprightly and in the light. You said, be holy as I holy. Father, touch each one of us. Revive us, restore us, and give us your peace, and help us to have to make peace with you. I ask these things in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.